This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I talk about drinking a ton of different stouts, hitting up Monk's Pub, trips to McKellar in San Francisco, and then we dive into some of the beer news, including the Stone Keystone Light controversy. All that and more on this week's episode. What did we do these last 3 weeks, Zoe? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? What you think it is?
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And it feels like a long time since we recorded, but that's only because I've been across state lines back and forth, so it feels longer to me. But yeah, normal week.
You're a busy guy, man. Yeah.
So welcome to the show. If you haven't listened to us before, what we do is we talk about the beer we're drinking, talk about the beers we drink, and the ones we're going to drink.
Right on.
So yeah, what are we drinking this week, kicking things off here?
Man, a little Ravinia Brewing Company. This is a Steep Ravine. It's a IPA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think we talked about them on a recent episode, just about how who Ravinia Brewing is and what are they doing, and we thought they were taking over the old break room space.
Albany Park,
but that's going to Twisted Hippo.
Right. So this brewed and canned by Ravinia. I don't know why we're so curious about this, but we are, you know.
Well, it makes no sense that Ravinia is in Ravinia.
Right, and they acknowledge that that's the inspiration, and they have roots in that area. That's why they call it that.
Yeah, but they're brewing in Chicago. Why don't you brew in Ravinia? I'm sure Ravinia would want a brew pub, right? Maybe they have rules that they can't have a brew pub.
I want Ravinia to brew near Ravinia. That's what I want.
This is like this beer and the space of the break room space is our most questions lately. We need answers.
We do, man. I mean, in the meantime, you know, it's a solid offering though from Ravinia, man. It's magically packed with citrus and aromatic pines, man.
Yeah, what is it, like 7% or 6.5%?
Yeah.
I don't even know if it says on here, but 7.5%. And then they were canned end of January here, so not too long, so it's pretty fresh.
Maybe if you pay extra, you don't have to reveal like where you brewed it. You can just say that you brewed it, right? Maybe that's it.
I don't know. This label would have had to get approved by the TCB, right? Yeah. So
maybe they slipped
they
it
can't
in.
Lie where they are.
Oh, yeah.
And 60618, that's like over here where we record. This is a 60618. So it's Logan Square, Roscoe Village, Northwest Side somewhere.
Parts unknown.
Huh. All right.
There we go, man.
But yeah, I'm digging this. It's one of those beers that you just have and you don't think about that much.
Yeah.
It's good.
You know, in the, you know, the ever-turning wheel, right? You take this for a spin, and, you know, it's cool.
Uh-huh.
You roll with it. I'm happy I landed on it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you and onward, you know?
Cool. Well, as we drink on this and finish up these cans, what were you up to this week?
Right on, man. I went to Lassen's out in the South Burbs.
Okay.
Lassen's Tap. So this is Homewood, Illinois. So we're talking like maybe 25 miles south of the city.
Okay.
At this point. Yeah. I think it's one of the better beer bars out there. I don't think it's, I think that short list wherever, you know, the Open Bottle and this place and maybe, you know, those are the two that first come to mind.
Right.
Just like really solid South Suburban bars.
Cool.
Oh, but yeah, man, they had the quack, man. The quack, the glass.
Oh, with the like weird glass handle thing.
Right. It's like a wooden handle and it's like a beaker, you know. Apparently there's a name for that glass. It's one of my favorite glasses. I get excited about it.
Pretty fun, yeah.
Yeah, man. It's called the Coachman,
okay.
Apparently. Yeah, so this is a Bastille quack. Bastille's been around since 1791, Belgian brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, but the Coachman, it was actually made for the wooden stand. It's functional because, like, because if you're riding, you know, in a coach drawn by horses, you know, this makes it easier for you to drink because there's less movement. You know, and that's why they call it the Coachman. It's for drinking in coaches.
So the cup can kind of rattle around and
it rattles around in the wooden handle without
Yeah. You know, without spilling. So it's spilling. More practical than a handle on a cup?
Right.
Okay.
Like less spillage.
Or they just didn't know how to attach handles to cups at that time. But
man, I don't know. Let's just put a wooden handle on, man. Drill some holes in it.
Could they have just done like the German Stein thing and just got a lid?
Probably my favorite is the lid. Yeah. You know, because, you know, you can cheers super hard with one of those right. things. You know,
can't like, cheers with the coachman.
With the coachman? No cheersing
for
you.
It's fancy. You're in a coach, in a carriage, so you're not cheersing.
Yeah. It's got these like Belgian, you know, drinking phrases etched into it. It's a really nice, it's a nice class.
That's one of the beers if I ever go to someone that hasn't been to the Hop Leaf before and they haven't had the Quok, mm-hmm. I'm like, get this beer, like just for the glassware alone.
Just for glassware alone. So salute to them for having proper glassware, because they could have gave it to me in a snifter. I've seen that shit happen before too, mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, they also had a Death by Cherries out there.
Oh, is that Revolution?
Yeah.
Right?
And there was that recent...
Deeth by Cherries.
Yeah, so we talked to them, and they said it is Deeth, because, you know, named after Josh Deeth. And it's, Deeth Tar, you know, play on Death Star. Oh, but you can go Deeth or Death, if you're talking about the cherry one.
Why?
Because.
It's red?
No, because Death by Cherry sounds cool, so they're like, well, it can go either way.
Oh, okay.
You know, but other than that, it's Deeth. On all the other ones, apparently.
Death by Tar doesn't sound as good?
No, it's got to be D-Star. Yeah. Oh, but it reminded me of that, you know, there's an article in the Trib, and they were doing, like, a showdown between, like, you know, this year's Gooses, Barrel-Aged Releases, and Revs. Mm-hmm. And I think they did, like, maybe Best of Seven or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. And I think Rev won, like, 4-3.
Okay.
Oh, but I remember having this, and the first sip was just okay, but when it warmed up, and it was fantastic. I really enjoyed.
Nice.
These by Cherries.
So. And I know those came in like these little micro 4-packs kind of things. Like if you were buying them.
You're talking about, so it wasn't like 12-ounce cans?
They were 12-ounce cans, but they were 4-pack cans.
Oh, gotcha.
So like in a little box.
So they gave you 4 cans, but they gave you a box.
Yeah, you have them in a little box. So it wasn't like a 6-pack thing. It would like look nice. So you could just buy a bunch and like stack these cubes, I think, around.
That replaces that's the Deep Wood Reserve series. That used to be the Bombers. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to cans. Yeah. And that brings me to what I think the best thing I had this week at the same bar was Evil Horse, man, out in Crete that we went to recently. It was... they had a barley wine on with some. It was dry hopped with an experimental grape.
Cool. So
like 10.5% barley wine.
Nice.
That was really fantastic.
So that was the best thing you drank this week?
I mean, it's weird to say, but I think like it might have been. Yeah. I mean, I had prop this week, so excluding prop, it was this.
Okay.
Excluding prop, it was this. But yeah, man, the reason I brought it up is because I bought Undercover Shutdown Ale from Lagunitas in a 6-pack this week.
Yeah.
And I wish that beer was as good as this Evil Warmer. Okay. And they're very similar. This Lagunitas thing is like a copper ale limited release.
Right, but super hopped.
Super hopped.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this was a play on that I really enjoyed more than Undercover Shutdown Ale.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah. But yeah, man, Lassen's, 30 on tap.
Sounds like a good spot.
Good spot.
Anything else you hit up then?
Man, I stopped through 18th Street for a bit.
Oh, nice.
Just to pick up some haze. That's like a normal stop. You know?
Okay.
Oh, but then I went to Monk's Pub, man, for Stout Week.
Oh, okay, because we talked about it last week or mentioned it. You know, we're talking about the peanut shells on the floor and just, like, the darkness that is Monk's Pub.
Full-on old-world Belgian drinking drink house right here. Yeah, they had the Prairie Deconstructed series, which was like, Prairie...
The bombs.
Yeah, these are all deconstructed bombs, whatever that means. You can get a flight for $24. I just got the vanilla. It was like strawberry and coffee or whatever.
And that wasn't up there with the best things you drank?
No, man. You know, this kind of tasted like an incidental vanilla. You know how, like, if you're chewing on, like, a bubble gum, like a Hubba Bubba, and it kind of might remind you of a vanilla a little bit? Like a birthday cake vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminded you of that, like it might have been an artificial vanilla.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? That's too bad. Bummer.
Yeah. Unless there's vanillas out there that just taste like, you know, like cake icing or something, you know.
I don't know. Maybe it's a different kind of like a Madagascar vanilla. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. My vanilla, my depth of range on
vanilla knowledge just isn't there.
It just isn't there. So that's just what it tasted like to me. It just tasted like a dessert vanilla, you know. But yeah, man, I finally got around to BCS Reserve, A's and Knob Creek Barrels. And Chris was right, man. There's a distinct difference between the Reserve and OG this year.
Okay.
Yeah, and OG, where it finishes, like, syrupy, like, very cloyingly sweet. That's how OG finishes. And this thing has a nice, like, well-constructed, like, boozy, like, oaky finish that I really liked.
Yeah.
Like, so.
I feel like when I had it at FOBAB, it just all blended together, and I was like, yeah, it's good. But in those moments, you don't have time to, like, think about it like you would at a bar or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. That was Reserve was nice, and then prop is prop, so.
Right.
You know, after one sip, you're like, yeah.
Man, you were just drinking, like, top-tier beers this past week, right?
I feel like Evil Horse was, I mean, prop, excluding prop, that Evil Horse was the best thing.
Uh-huh. But, like, the Bomb series, people love those.
People love those, and my favorite one is, like, Pirate, where I think they took it in bourbon barrels and finished in rum barrels. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite one, and that seemed like they do a lot of those bombs. Yeah. But this one in particular, I just didn't really care for. Some barrel-aged, some non-barrel-aged. I didn't really care for that one, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
But, yeah, man, all the prop finished in, like, 55 minutes at that place. That's prop and reserve.
That's pretty good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else?
No.
You got your pays? Okay. So I was out in San Francisco. Not really Chicago-related, but I did, when I landed, I went straight to the McKellar bar.
Right on.
I dropped my bag off at the hotel, and I don't know when it opened. I think it's fairly new because I haven't been there or heard of it since the few times I've gone. But
over in the Tenderloin is that area they call
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah. so that was a cool spot. The first beer I got was the Pulp Light from Fieldworks, and that's probably the best thing I think I drank this past week. It was an IPA, but it was like a light hazy version of it was like a IPA slash haze IPA kind of idea. So that was really good. I was just kind of waiting around for somewhere to sit because I was hungry and so I needed some food. But you know,
oh, because that's just a bar, right?
No, McKellar. You can get food there, but I didn't want to stand and eat, so I was trying to like scoop a spot at the bar. But you can just kind of stand around and wait for a spot to open up.
Yeah.
And then I had a beer called Log Lady, which is. I'm not sure if this is a direct collaboration with David Lynch or not, but it's Log Lady from Twin Peaks, the lady that walks around with a log.
Okay.
most of their beers on their menu said, like, McKellar and slash this person or slash this brewery. So I don't know if he actually helped or just, like, they were like, hey, can we name this beer Log Lady? And
right.
Like, yeah, go ahead. And that was the collaboration. That was all right. It was just like a lager. So
didn't make it around to seeing much Twin Peaks when it was on.
Yeah, you're.
That was Luke and Laura, I think, right?
Oh, I don't remember. Yeah, I don't know. Right. You're fine not seeing it. and then I went over to Cellar Maker.
Oh, right on.
Which you said you had been to.
I went to yes.
Because also, Haymarket. People's friends own it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, one of the guys, Mike Gemma, who's a GM at Haymarket, he's when I brought, I wore the work shirt, and he mentioned, like, hey, yeah, one of my close friends owns that bar, owns that brewery.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, they had really good beers. The guys I, like, went over there with, because I met up with some people, they were, like, exhausted from traveling that day, so they didn't want to stay very long, and they were also, like, younger and didn't drink a lot of beer, so they were kind of, like, done after, like, one and a half. Right. I was like, I could keep drinking through this menu, but I'll share that lift back to the hotel with you guys. Yeah. Let's go.
Like, I guess if we have to shut it down,
yeah,
I guess,
but I don't know. There's a lot of beers here. We got to try. You guys sure? but, yeah, those are my main stops in San Francisco. I did see Off Color on tap at a place called Beer Store.
Yeah.
Which is City, like, Beer Store.
There's a store that they have, and there's like a bar in the store.
Yeah, so it's kind of slashy-like. Yeah. Yeah, huge selection. Lots of, I noticed a lot of Off Color stuff, and I'm blanking on the name of them. They do the White Light series.
Oh, you're talking about Sun King, but
No, they're from Chicago. They have like white light.
I'm thinking of the synths out at Upland.
Yeah.
It's like a dark synth and a light synth. Mm-hmm. That's what I was
Middlebrow.
Thinking. Oh, Middlebrow.
Middlebrow.
Okay, yeah.
That's who I was like.
Oh, they were in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Huh.
They had like a bunch of their cans, which
no kidding.
Was a little surprising because you don't see their stuff all over the place in Chicago.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think I've only had it when we were on the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that place Cellar Maker, I remember, you know, Ashley, the beer wench, we were we're hanging out at City Beer Store, and she mentioned Cellar Maker. She's like, you haven't heard. She's like, they're the best brewery in the city. You have to go. And at the time, she was working for Green Flash.
Okay.
So I'm like, well, if she's saying that, then maybe I should go see what they're doing. And mm-hmm. it didn't disappoint.
And Cellar Maker's right around the corner from where City Beer Store is. So that was basically where I stayed like the whole time was the Keller, Cellar Maker, City Beer Store.
Man, that's a serious beer town, San Francisco.
Yeah, and there's new ones popping up all the time, and especially like that Fieldworks, that Pulp Light, that's from, they're in Berkeley, so there's a lot of breweries right. like just adjacent to San Francisco that...
San Francisco adjacent?
Yeah.
Right on.
But that was really my drinking, no Chicago-related drinking. I didn't even drink at O'Hare or anything like that. I didn't have time. I was there always in the morning, so I was like, I'm not getting a beer right now. I should have, but... Yeah.
There's a Publican at that...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, cool. Well, so talked about our past week, our best beers of the week.
Yes.
All right, let's get into what's happening this week on the calendar.
Man, it's a slow week, man. You know, Friday they're doing a sneak peek of the Barrel Age Might Meets Right. That's the series of beers from Temperance.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is a sneak peek. They've got a...
At Temperance?
It's going to be at Temperance up in Evanston.
Okay.
They've got... this is Friday the 16th. They got a pre-release, and then they got a Funk Trunk Records is going to be there.
Nice.
Yeah, they did something like this on Monday, man. I missed it. I was really bummed out. Okay. There's like Bramble. There's like a Maple. There's like a series of four. They're in cans this year. They're Barrel Age stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and then we recorded up there like way early. I want to say that's like one of our first.
I think that was our first
on-site recordings, right?
Right.
With Claudia up there. So yeah, but yeah, man. This week is the auto show. So
how's that relate to beer?
Oh, because Brickstone.
Okay. All right.
Brickstone, they brewed a beer for the auto show called Everyday Pale Ale. It's funny you should ask, Brad. Yeah, man. Cheers to those guys because they got a contract. They're the only brewery that they're like the exclusive beer of the auto show.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, that's right downtown to McCormick Place, one of the biggest in the country, you know. And then McCormick Place could have chosen any Chicago brewery to fill that slot.
Yeah.
But they picked Brickstone, so good for them.
You would have thought like Motoro would have did a beer.
Which is like super close
for the auto show, or maybe they do, and we just don't know something on tap.
Yeah, Valentine's Day is this week, so not a whole lot for Valentine's Day events. Off Color made a Valentine's Day beer though.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called I'm sorry. So it's a Belgian pale.
I'm sorry is the name, not I'm sorry I forgot.
I'm sorry is the name of the beer.
Okay.
they brewed it with flowers and rose hips.
Oh,
so
nice.
That's pretty cool. Saint Arant, that's a crew that I've been checking for every week. They did a double IPA called Takers and Leavers.
Nice.
Yeah, so some holiday beer options for you there.
Yeah, I think I'll be over at Beermiscuous on Valentine's Day.
All right.
Wednesdays they have like a happy hour, I believe, if I remember off the top of my head, it's something from like 6 to 8:30 or 5:30 to 8:30, like half happy hour, like $1 off pints or something like that. So
right on.
Gonna stop in there.
Beermiscuous, a beer cafe. That's their tagline. I love it.
Yeah,
it's cool. Great. Very cool space. Another place we've recorded.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So that does it for the events. Oh, we should mention Dark Side. Get your tickets.
Yeah.
It's coming up. We're like a week away?
Yeah.
A week and a half?
We're a week away.
It's probably next week when we record. It will be that weekend, I believe.
Yeah. So that's Sunday the 25th at Emporium Wicker Park.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. So we'll mention again, but you can pick up tickets. Lots of great stouts they're going to have on tap. Your ticket gets you tokens and tickets to drink. And
so it's Sunday afternoon beer fest.
Cool.
Leaning on the dark stuff.
Mm-hmm. Nice. All right. So before we wrap up this episode, how about some beer news?
Yeah, let's do it, man. We'll start with Vice District, man. Their co-founder, Curtis Tarver, is running for state representative, man, of the 25th district.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so apparently he's a lawyer by trade as well as the co-founder of Vice District.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's running for state representative, man.
Nice, so, okay.
Good for him, man.
What do you know anything more than just that he's running?
No, I don't. And it reminds me of, Hickenlooper mm-hmm. out in, he's the governor now of Colorado. But before that, he was the mayor of Denver.
Okay.
And before he was a mayor of Denver, he founded the first brew pub in Denver.
Yeah.
So yeah, so he was a brewer that went into politics and then went, took it all the way to being governor of the state.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. So and I don't know who Curtis is running against.
I don't. And you know, I don't. I should know more about my local elections than I do. I mentioned that 25th district represents the area that Vice District is in. So that's South Loop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay. So we'll have to look more into that. Maybe we should get him on the podcast. He's probably trying to do like
politics stuff,
campaign stuff, and things like that. So like, let's use this outlet to get his message out, right?
It'd be a great idea. And then also, they're opening a second location out in Homewood. So okay. You know, a small business owner that's looking to make a that help out other small business owners with a perspective of being a lawyer. And somebody who's opening two locations of his small business.
Cool. All right. So we're going to reach out to make this happen.
Right on, man. RTJ, man. Killer Mike and LP from Run the Jewels. They have another beer. They're getting familiar with this whole beer collaboration thing. You know, Lollapalooza was the last one for their IPA. Innerboro, J. Wakefield, and Pipeworks. That's what makes this story relevant. They're all going to have three different versions of this beer called Panther Like a Panther. So it's a stout, and each brewery will have a different version of the stout.
Cool.
Yeah. So there's that.
Did Run the Jewels do any tracks on the Black Panther soundtrack? Is this why it's called Panther by Panther? I listened to it the other day because Kendrick Lamar did the
he's like the curated executive producer or something, right?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. And the music. So I didn't hear Run the Jewels track, but maybe I missed it.
Yeah. I haven't listened to it. So I don't know. I do like Run the Jewels, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Panther by Panther.
They're pretty good.
Panther lad. Like Panther or Panther like Panther?
Panther like a Panther.
Like a Panther. Okay.
Panther like a Panther.
Damn.
Yeah. Half Acre, man. You know, they've got a release this Friday. It's their Peach Fruit Truck. It's the next in the release of their Wild Cove series, which is their sour beers. And, you know, they had the first entry in this, that Purple is Magic one, was rated like number 3. In a blind tasting of wild ales from from I'm blanking on the name of the magazine.
Not Pace.
Thank you, Pace magazine. Yeah, because Pace is always doing.
I was like, it's either Pace or maybe I don't know. Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool for Half Acre, man. So that was their first one, and people seem to think they hit it out the park on a blind tasting. So you can get the second one this Friday, Peach Fruit Truck.
Nice.
Right on. Oh, and finally in news, the Stone is suing Miller Coors, man.
Whew. All right. So we saved this one for the end because we could have some good opinions here. So I know a little bit about the story, but you want to let people know or give them a little rundown of what it is?
Yeah, so the new packaging on Keystone Light features the word stone bold and over most of the can in the Keystone. So they're emphasizing on the stone in the name Keystone Light. And they got this whole campaign around it. It looks like new branding. I haven't seen Keystone Light look like that before. And in the ads, it says, like, you know, they're using the word stone to, like, grab a 12-pack of stones or a case of stones.
Grab life by the stones.
Grab life by the stones. They're making all these, you know, these references to the stone in Keystone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these guys from Stone have been around for 20 years. Their IPA, Stone IPA, is the longest continually produced West Coast IPA that there is. In history, right? It's, like, one of the original big West Coast IPAs.
I feel like the Keystone Light can, I think I get it mixed up with like Coors Light. I feel like it was silver previously.
Yeah.
If in my mind I pictured like a silver tall boy can of Keystone Light.
Yeah.
That's how I remember it. But like you said, I haven't seen it in a long time.
I mean, it's not something we're checking for, yeah. And right. And like I find it curious that, you know, like Stone's not a small brewery, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember when he came to Chicago a few years back, and you know we talked to him, and he would say things like, right. "Man, you know, like, dude, we're the, you know, our brewery / restaurant, you know, where they're thinking about building the hotels and stuff. It's the third most visited destination in all of San Diego County.
That's crazy.
Like they're a big player,
right?
You know, they're brewing in Berlin now. I think, right? So, yeah.
But then. Keystone, who was it, Miller Coors that owns
Keystone? Miller Coors owns Keystone, yeah.
Their response to it was basically, this is a marketing stunt by Stone.
Yeah.
We have been using the Stone tagline for years in our branding.
Oh, it's like a shorthand for Keystone.
Yeah, and our fans I don't know who's a fan of Keystone. I don't think anyone is going to admit to being a fan of Keystone Light, but they said they're fans, and people who drink it have referred to it as stone for years.
Yeah.
I don't know. That is not my circle of friends, so I don't know anyone who's like, hey, you got any of that stone?
Right. I'm more of a, when I was more a light beer drinker. I was probably more of a natty light drinker than a stone, Keystone drinker. And I never called it stone.
Can you even get natty light here? I don't think you can get natty light here.
Natty light, man.
Natty light's I'm thinking natty bow.
I don't know what natty bow.
Okay, natty bow is from the East Coast. Natty light, I guess, yeah. Natural light.
Yes, natural light.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm kind of surprised by this, but, you know, I think it was good to see Greg in the news, you know. He's one of the original characters
in
craft beer. I think he was on, like, sabbatical, and he came back with this whole mountain man vibe.
Yeah, but I thought he, like, left totally.
Oh, like, exile. Like, left the company altogether.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep up with.
Yeah. It's not our brewery, right?
Yeah.
It's Southern California's brewery, so.
Yeah. So.
I don't know how I feel about this. I do feel like it's a little bit of like, this is an easy sell for Stone, right? To get behind this and try to fight this. Because, of course, every craft beer fan's going to be like, yeah, Stone's in the right here, which they probably are. But at the same time, it's a way to like kind of remind people like, hey, don't let these people fool you into thinking they're like on our side.
Yeah. It was a refresher course in the video. If you haven't chance, go. It's like a 2-minute video. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just him announcing that he's going to sue Miller Coors. But it's a refresher course in all the breweries, not all, but some of the breweries that got purchased, and how Stone's voice is an independent voice, and you know they aren't backed by big beer, that kind of thing. And you know, he does have a history of like even Arrogant Bastard's tagline of, you know, this is not fizzy yellow beer or whatever they were going for. They've always had a disdain for, you know, macro and conglomerates and, you know, these types of breweries that weren't craft breweries.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun. It's fun to see Greg in the news. You know, he's an interesting character, and he reminds me of, you know, an era gone by, kind of. Like, he's one of the originals, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think now that they do can their beers, they have a little more weight to this, because forever Stone was like, we're never canning.
Yeah.
And then here they are canning quite a few beers.
Yeah.
So I think if they hadn't have started canning and Keystone Light's cans look like this, they would have had no basis for this, because it's like, well, you don't even have that package on the shelf.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So I don't know why Stone just doesn't roll out a version of their beer that looks like that and make it, you know, Stone like the Keystone Extreme or something like that.
Oh, like. Like pick up steam and go after them.
Yeah, like oh, you wanna play that game? We're gonna fight you too.
Yeah.
Just maybe it's like a brewery only, or like a fun like freebie thing to fans, kind of. They could do like the package wrap kind of thing on the blank cans. And
yeah, if you're listening, and you want to bring back Sublimely Self-Righteous and put it in that can that looks like Keystone Light.
Yeah.
I'd be a fan of that. That was like a serious black IPA.
Stone Blindly. Or something like that, make it Stone real big.
You know, and just call it something clever and make sure it's the recipe for Sublimely Self-Righteous in there, man.
But I do think it's a good way for Stone just to remind people that they're there. They're often, I think any of these older breweries or older craft breweries, you kind of start to, I want to say, like, just take them for granted.
Yeah, it's true. Because they're still making good beer. Yeah, like I remember having the Lagunitas one. And I remember, and it brought me to looking at this and saying, man, you know, Lagunitas and Stone, these are breweries that started in the late 90s. Like, and yeah, they do just get kind of lost in the shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's good quality beer, but there's so many fresh new options. Right. You kind of overlook them. So maybe, you know, this will be good for them. People are going to pick them up if they see them on tap or in stores maybe, you know, and they'll just be in the conscious. So it's good for them.
Yeah. One more thing on that. I cannot imagine. I think in that video, Stone or Greg says, you would never see a light beer from Stone.
Mm-hmm.
You would never see a Stone drinker drinking Keystone Light, and you would never see a Keystone Light person drinking Stone beer.
Yeah.
So that's that's where the argument has no base because they are not the same consumer, right?
Yeah. So. That's true. That's very true.
So you are not getting confused by the package.
Oh, you think that actually favors into the argument that these things don't matter.
They're different, right? Matter. Like, yeah. They're a totally different group of people. Yeah. It's basically like a wine drinker to a beer drinker, really.
But you know, Lagunitas, man, they were going to go after Sierra Nevada. And they pulled it at the last minute because, you know, I guess, you know, cooler heads prevailed. But I think Sierra Nevada's packaging, you know, for one of their beers had the big, bold IPA font, just like Lagunitas has on their Lagunitas IPA. And Lagunitas saying, no, this creates confusion. So it sounds like Stone's going after that whole "this creates confusion" argument.
Maybe it does.
And yeah, and there's an interesting point about how, but the drinkers are so far apart, even though they're both drinkers, it'd be difficult to prove.
Yeah, I can't
outside
imagine.
Outside of name, but I don't know what qualifies as infringement. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I can't imagine a bar that has Keystone Light also has Stone. Like,
yeah.
And I bet Keystone Light comes in 30-pack. Cases. Have you ever seen a single Keystone can on the shelf? I've seen single Stone cans. Never seen a single Keystone can.
Yeah.
What's it got to be? Like, it's got to be like the price of a soda if you were at the store. Like a dollar. Like, oh, I'll take that. Like, if you're at like a corner bodega, corner store kind of thing. It's like,
yeah.
And you know they're getting who's ever buying that is getting like a tall boy or a 40 or something, right? Like if you're getting a Keystone Light, you might as well just get like a Mad Dog.
That's the same drinker, right? The same drinker is going to get those two products for sure.
All right. Yeah. Enough on that before talk ourselves in circles.
But yeah, man, that's it for news, man.
Cool. And that's going to do it for this week's episode of Chicago Beer Pass. I promise I will get this episode up sooner this
week.
Yeah,
you had travel day, so that was probably impossible to do.
Yeah, I tried to get it up before I left, and exports and uploads were just taking too long, and so I had to do it when I came back. But this episode will be up in a timely fashion. But in the meantime, Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not recording here.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Instagram page, Facebook page, Chicago Beer Pass, and the website chicagobeerpass.com. Everything is posted there. Links to iTunes, Stitcher, the YouTube version as well. And we will be back next week, maybe with, Curtis or someone else. Who knows what we're up to. We got things planned.
Right on.
Take care.
Cheers.